Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again.
Unbelievable.
Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake.
A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
And now to our interview of the week here on the Last Round Boxing Podcast. He's been on before. He was on about probably a year, maybe a little over a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. He has a fight coming up May 18th at the Pechanga Arena in San Diego, California, against Brian Norman Jr., the undefeated Brian Norman Jr. at 25-0. This will be the co-feature for the Navarrete-Berenchik fight on ESPN. He's coming off probably his most publicized and significant win to date last year in Inglewood, California, over Golden Boy Promotions' Alexis Rocha. El Gallo de Oro, Giovanni Santillan, joins us here on the Last Round. Thank you for joining us and returning again to the Last Round, Gio.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me again. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, well, like I just mentioned, you have this fight coming up May 18th against Brian Norman Jr. So for fans or listeners who aren't aware of who Brian Norman Jr. is, he's undefeated, 25-0. But I think it's safe to say that your name is a little bit more publicized than his name. So your name recognition is a lot stronger than his. So what could you tell us about your opponent on May 18th?
Yeah, I would say that last fight, you know, my last fight helped me, you know, get my name out there a little bit, which is what I needed, you know, for my career. And this opponent, you know, I've watched him a little bit. I've watched some of his past fights. I know I've seen some of the guys, maybe two guys that I kind of know that I've fought him, you know, and so young guy, you know, seems I think it's going to be a good fight. You know, I'm sure he's young and hungry and you know, he's undefeated. So, you know, this is the type of fight that gets me excited, you know, knowing that I'm going up against another undefeated fighter, just like my last fight. You know, these types of fights are the ones that are getting me fired up. And I think these are the types of fights that I need to take my career further, you know, for people to start to take notice.
So as we mentioned, you know, Alexis Rocha was, you know, gave you a lot of publicity after that win. That was you had a lot of attention on that fight. I think he's coming back also, or he just came back soon. So you guys are kind of right neck and neck in terms of subsequent fights again. But this is your first fight since that Rocha win, right?
This will be my first one back, yeah.
So is it because of, you know, Terrence Crawford and Spence, because they were kind of holding up the division with the belts? Is that why kind of maybe it took a little bit longer than usual for you to get back in the ring?
I think so. I think maybe it has something to do with that. You know, being ranked number one WBO now, you know, after that last fight, I think, you know, we're waiting. We were kind of waiting, I guess, to see, you know, because we want to make this WBO world title fight for this one. But, you know, with Crawford, I guess nothing yet going on on whether he's going to move up or not. You know, it's kind of been on hold. So, but, you know, I'm glad that this fight's happening now, you know, against another good fighter.
Did you have any conversations with Top Rank, or did Top Rank maybe offer you the chance to have like an interim bout in between, just to kind of keep the legs flowing?
Yeah, so that's what I've been told, that this would be made into an interim bout. I haven't seen anything announced, you know, when it comes to that, but I was told that this would be interim bout. So we'll see, maybe an announcement, you know, and maybe there's an update soon, you know, on this next fight. Maybe it will be the interim belt, you know. I'm hoping it is, you know, I'm hoping it really is.
And it would be for the interim WBO belt, right?
WBO, yeah.
So as you mentioned, you're obviously ranked number one. Do you think, you know, assuming obviously you get the victory on May 18th, not overlooking Norman Jr., but I mean, do you think Crawford, I mean, Spence has already kind of made his intentions known that he's going up into 154, but do you think Crawford, you think he's going up as well? Are you kind of not really focusing your eyes on him anymore?
You know, I haven't really been thinking about him. I've been thinking that he's probably moving up, but, you know, I was talking to Ellie Sec back the other day, he brought him up and I was, man, you know what? That would be a great fight too. If I get a chance to fight him, I feel like beating him and earning that WBO that way would be would mean so much more to me.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a very, very significant fight, especially for you. You know, that's a coming off the Rocha win with all that momentum you had, definitely that. So for the Rocha fight, we had Robert Diaz on maybe a couple months after after that fight on. He's obviously formerly with Golden Boy. He was a vice president over there. He's no longer there, but he's still involved in boxing in different aspects. And I want to get your take on this since you were obviously in the fight. It was you and Rocha. He felt that you were too much of a risk for somebody like Rocha. And if he was still, you know, involved in Rocha's career. And I know it's hard to speak because he's talking about Rocha and stuff, but he felt that you were too much of a risk because Rocha was kind of at that cusp. It's essentially where you're at now.
Yeah.
Rocha was right there. And he felt that, and he wasn't disrespecting you or anything. He says he's a big fan of you, but he just felt that you were too much of a risk for Rocha because he was on that cusp and they were trying to get him to that world title shot. You know, what's your take on something like that? Because technically, here on the podcast here, Mike and I, when we were talking about your fight, when your guys' fight got made between you and Rocha, we were fans of it. I thought you guys were both, you know, at similar positions in your careers. You guys both needed that significant, you know, victory to really get that momentum going. But you know, what do you think when you hear about somebody like Robert Diaz saying something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I really needed that fight. You know, I'm happy. I'm glad that they took the fight. You know, I think it was like you said, you know, we're in similar points in our career. But he was a little bit closer to something like a world title. I do believe I was a high-risk fight for him. You know, I mean, I ended up winning the fight. I believe I'm high-risk for any of the top guys right now because I don't have a big name yet. But I'm undefeated. I'm a good fighter. I always come with everything I got. And I think that's what makes me a high-risk fight. You know, I guess one would consider a lower-risk fight when you fight someone with a big name. You know, you're going to get a lot of money to fight this guy. So it's like, okay, well, the risk and reward, you know. But they took the fight, you know, and I think that they also wanted to prove something to the boxing world and to themselves. And, you know, but it was my night. You know, I knew what I needed to do, and I knew what I wanted to do. And I came out there and did it.
Have you run into that you know, maybe in the last couple of years or so, or maybe even after the Rocha fight where, you know, you are, because I think you're in that between a rock and a hard place where your talent exceeds the notoriety you have. Yeah. So, you know, you look at it, people look at it as a business, like, oh, he's too much of a risk for, you know, the finances doesn't back up the risk. So, you know, your talent is too much for some fighters who are like, oh, you know, I need to get paid more to fight somebody like that. You know, do you feel that you've kind of been running into that situation as a fighter right now?
I think that happens a lot in boxing to a lot of fighters, for sure. You know, and but I think that, you know, getting wins like that, getting this, especially this next fight, you know, beating another undefeated fighter, man, I don't think that you're gonna be able to deny me my opportunities. You know, that I feel like I deserve to get.
Did you ever get a chance to talk to Alexis Rocha after the fight or, you know, maybe kind of have like a heart to heart, just, you know, thanking him for the fight and he thanked you for the fight? I mean, did you ever have any conversations like that?
Unfortunately, I didn't. You know, I would have loved to. I think that night afterwards, I went straight to go eat, you know, with my family to get some in and out. And I had heard that he was in the hotel lobby, the same hotel that I was staying at too. And he had asked, you know, to talk to me and what I think my cut man. And so when I came back, some of his people were still there, but he was no longer there. So I didn't get a chance to talk to him. So I haven't had a chance to talk to him. But, you know, I did watch his last fight, and I did see the post-fight interview. It seems like it's still something that's on his mind, you know, and he was saying something about wanting a rematch and things like that. But I don't see a reason for a rematch in that type of fight. You know, I watched the fight. I watched his last fight. I don't feel like I see anything new or anything different that would be like create a different outcome if I were to fight him.
Would, because obviously, you know, you're now you're in the position of a mandatory and you're, you know, that's the goal, to try to get to a championship title belt. You know, what would it take for a rematch to happen? I mean, you know, does he have to win a couple more fights under his belt to kind of get back in a pattern of winning? Or are you just kind of, like you mentioned, you don't see anything that essentially justifies a rematch, but what would it take from your perspective?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it would make sense if he won a couple good fights there that showed like, okay, we can make a bigger fight now, you know, even bigger fight, something that would sell even more. And that's more, I guess, speaking on the business side of it. Also, if they were to offer me the right amount of money, then I mean, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
I know for that last fight, he got paid, you know, a lot more than I did. So I'm trying to get up there, you know. I've been doing this for a long time and you know, I've been, you know, doing it for low money most of my career. So hopefully he's trying to get, I want to get those bigger purses now going forward.
Do you think that you being the winner in that first fight, that initial bout, do you think that would give you the negotiation power to possibly bring that fight to San Diego, which is your hometown?
Yeah, definitely. I think that'd be awesome too, if that were to happen. You know, but I guess that's the type of fight that I would see if I don't get an opportunity for a world title or something like that, or anything better doesn't come across the table. I guess that's a fight that I would entertain, you know, to making, you know, after speaking with my team, seeing what they think. But I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't feel like there would be another outcome. You know, I feel like I have him, I don't know, kind of figured out. I feel like sometimes you just have someone's number, and it's a problem that I already know how to solve.
In terms of you know, selecting Brian Norman Jr. as your opponent on May 18th, was there anybody else that you could kind of say that was in the running? Were you guys talking to anybody else to try to make any types of fights for that date?
Yeah, there was another guy. I can't remember his name, but this is a Puerto Rican guy. I think he was ranked top 10 for sure, WBO. Don't remember the guy's name right now. But that's why I thought I was going to fight for a couple of weeks. And then they told me for some reason it fell out and that we're going to have to fight Brian Norman. That was the other option that they had. So I was like, all right, let's do it.
So Norman is a former U.S. amateur, obviously star. He's a 6-year pro. He's went 3-0 last year in 2023. I believe he had his last fight was a win over Quinton Randall. He was on the undercard of Shakur Stevenson and Edwin De Los Santos in Las Vegas. Yeah. He fought, I think, last month in March to a no contest. What do you think about that?
Well, that fight ended because of headbutts cutting, you know, right. Head clash. That's one thing that I've noticed in him. A lot of his fights have ended, you know, have been, I think a couple fights have ended because of that. But a lot of his opponents get cut because, you know, he runs into his head in first. I'm pretty sure that's a tactic he uses. So that's something that, you know, we're trying to keep an eye on for sure when it comes to the game plan and fighting this guy.
So how do you, you know, do you view that as dirty? As a professional fighter, when another, you know, when you see a pattern like that from another fighter, or do you just, based on your training and your team and how you kind of have grown up and progressed in your career as a professional boxer, do you just say like, okay, you know, that just comes with the game. We just got to figure it out.
I think head clashes happen all the time, you know, by accident all the time. But I think when you see a pattern like that, it kind of feels like a dirty tactic to me. But boxing is it's a dirty sport, you know, and it's a fight at the end of the day. So it doesn't matter what your opponent brings, you know, you got to be prepared for it. So it's something that I'm glad we've noticed and we can take note of and prepare, you know, for that type of fight, you know, because I'm sure that that's a way he's going to come into this fight.
And then, you know, after the May 18th bout, assuming you come out victorious, what obviously the goal is to try to be champion, you know. Yep. You're number one WBO, but if you're kind of stuck in limbo again, because the division is kind of being held up, or you know, Crawford does have power you know, he's a significant personality and fighter in the sport. And they haven't really, I don't think he's vacated the titles at all. So he's still kind of holding on to them. You know, at what point in terms of months after this May 18th bout would you say that you'd want to fight, whether it's you get a championship title fight or you just want to get a stay busy fight?
This one's going to be in May. If I could get something around September, August, September, that'd be great. You know, depends on damage taken on this fight. But if I could get something, I mean, I would love to be able to fight three times this year. You know, I want to stay busier in this sport. I want to stay busier. I don't want to just fight one time a year. You know, so if I can get two, three fights this year, I would love for opportunity to be able to do that.
Now, you being with Top Rank, which is obviously one of the biggest promoters in the world, one of the most historic promoters in the world as well, because they are, you know, they are a business. They have their, you know, their large ESPN broadcast deal, and then, you know, you're on the stable for their promotion. You know, do you find it difficult being with big promoters like that? Obviously, in terms of reach and stuff, you know, that's for your career, that's great. But, you know, sometimes because of the business side and the scheduling and all that, do you find it difficult and frustrating sometimes? Because you're just like, oh, you know, I want a fight date, but it's just they're trying to squeeze you in or trying to put you here and there, and it just kind of just goes away sometimes.
I mean, I think the only time I was only able to get like one fight that year was during COVID, you know, 2020. After that, I've been able to stay a little bit busier. But I think with performances like that last fight, I think I'm going to get to that point where I'm getting more of what I would want.
Ideally, let's just say, you know, you have a shot at the vacant WBO title later on this year. Do you have anybody in your mind? Obviously, you want a shot at the title, regardless of who it's against. You know, that's a big opportunity. But in terms of the fighter in you, is there anybody that, you know, would come to mind? Like, oh, you know, I think that would be a fun fight for that vacant title between myself and so-and-so.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of names right now. I mean, but for the WBO, I don't know who's up there top 10 that would, I guess, you know, you have to be top 10 to be able to fight for the title, I think. So anybody top 10, any one of those guys, it'd be interesting. Any one of those guys. Originally, I was thinking Cody Crowley would be, since he's up there, you know, as a fight. But I think he's already got a fight coming up. But I don't know. After, you know, first I want to get through this fight. Then I'd love an opportunity to get that world title. And after that, I think the possibilities are endless, you know, to make these big fights. I know there's Jerron Ennis, there's Stagnonis, there's Mario Barrios, you know, and who knows, you know, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, if they move up in my division, man, that'd be great to get a fight against those guys. And then there's Conor Benn as well. That's another fight that would be, I think it would be exciting too, to make.
So you mentioned Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. They obviously have a fight this upcoming Saturday in Brooklyn, New York, on DAZN. You mentioned in an interview, I think within the last couple of days or last week or so, with Ellie Sekback, ES News. He was at the Robert Garcia gym in Riverside, California. And he, I think, was asking you about Haney Garcia and all that. And you mentioned something about that you and Ryan have only sparred once, which was, I think, you know, 4 or 5 years ago or something. And it got a little, you know, there was a little tension built up there. You know, yeah. What I know what kind of, you know, what stays in the gym, you know, we understand that, but what can you tell the listeners about what happened during that sparring session?
Yeah, I did talk about a little bit with Ellie Sekback. I haven't really actually talked about this much since it happened, but this was back in 2020. We actually sparred three times, actually. We had sparred on a Tuesday, Thursday, then the following week on Tuesday. But that last sparring session, because I was catching him, you know, on one of our sparring, or on a second session, I was catching him with some shots, and I don't think he liked that, man. So he came into the final session that we did trying to go all out with everything, right? And so I'm with it, you know, I like that. What I don't like is when, and this is what I was talking about, is when if someone's fighting kind of a little bit dirty, right, you're pushing, you're pulling people down and things like that. I'm okay with fighting that way as long as, like, you're not complaining about it. Like, all right, if you're going to fight that way, I'm going to fight that way too. And then that's the fight that we're in. You know what I mean? But he started doing these little things like pushing me down, shoving me. He started talking trash. And so I'm not the type to talk much, right? So I just stayed quiet, kept coming at him. And he didn't like that, man. So that's where it started getting really kind of a little bit out of hand, to the point where, cause I don't complain. I don't look at my corner and like, hey, he's doing this or he's doing that. I just do it back. Like, if you're going to fight like that, I'm going to fight like that too. I'm just going to do it back. No complaining. We're in the ring. It's just me and you. But the last thing that had happened, I came in close. So he pulled me down, pushed me down, and then grabbed me in a headlock. And so I tap him on the leg, like, all right, let's break, you know, but he wouldn't let go. He just squeezed harder. So then at that point I got mad. So I just took him down to the ground. And then that's when his dad, my dad jumped in, separated us. And that was it. That was pretty much it. It ended there. We didn't spar again after that.
So you've never had any contact with him after that?
No, I probably saw him around that gym. This was in San Diego at a gym. And, I saw him around one more time after that, but we didn't say anything to each other.
So it's just one of those, like, you know, it is what it is. You see over there, I'll see over here.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to ask you this, because you have a son, right? You have a little boy. I saw him on the video with Ellie. Would you, exactly with your mentality that you just said that you have, where you're just like, hey, I don't complain. You're going to do that. I'm going to do it back to you. As long as you complain, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. If your son grew up wanted to be a boxer, would you train him like that?
He would have to be like that. Absolutely. You know, I always, when people ask me, I always think about back then when I started, and my dad never, I remember being 8 years old when I started. He never had forced me to go to the gym or like, hey, we got to do this, we got to do that. And I would never complain. I would do it. You know, if he told me I needed to go run, I would go run, because that's what I needed to do. That's what he said to do. I trusted him. If he said we got to go to the gym 6 days a week, you know, I would go to the gym 6 days a week, 5 days a week. We're going to go. It's my birthday. We're going to go train. I would go. So that's the only way. If my son, I know, respected the sport in that way, then I would allow him to compete, and I would show him what I know. But if I saw him to where I have to push him too much to do this sport and to train hard, then I wouldn't think that this is for him.
Like, if you had to, so far in your career and, you know, growing up in the sport and, you know, getting to where you're at, is there one thing that if your son got into the sport years from now that you would try to, you know, train him or help him in his progression, that something that you experienced that you wouldn't want him to experience?
That I wouldn't want him to experience?
Yeah, if you could.
Not that I can think of anything right now. I mean, the only thing is that I feel like I've gained so much experience now that, you know, I could lead him in a different path. I could teach him a lot of things that I know now that I did, you know, back then that my dad didn't. You know, I'm the only one who's ever boxed in my whole family. So, you know, there was a learning curve there. And so if my son wanted to really do this, then I feel like I could show him a lot of things that it took me years to learn, a lot of things that it took years for me to gather information, experience that it took me to, you know, years to be able to get, that I could give him a lot sooner, you know, and help progress him a lot faster.
Before I get your take on the Ryan and Devin Haney fight on Saturday, kind of staying on the subject of that sparring session you had with him, how many situations would you say that you've had like that in your career with in terms of sparring with other fighters? Maybe not. Maybe it hasn't got that crazy, but, you know,
it's probably gotten worse. Yeah, it's probably. I've had some sessions that are worse than that. It just happens sometimes, you know. And but like I said, I've never been. The thing is, a lot of times, the guys that do those things that are like pushing you, talking smack, as soon as you do it back, they can't handle it. They can't handle it, and so I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. I feel like if you're going to fight that way, then you better be able to take it as well. You know, when they do it back, you better not complain. So it's happened a lot throughout the years. You know, I mean, I started when I was 8. I'm 32 now. So it's happened. Things get heated sometimes in the gym. But, you know, I feel like you know, most of the time, as long as there's a certain line that isn't crossed, you're supposed to just leave that in the ring, you know, and shake hands afterwards outside the ring and move on.
So what's your take on this Saturday's fight between Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney? Break it down for us.
I mean, man, there's a lot of crazy stuff I think that we've been seeing from Ryan Garcia's side, but who knows, you know, who knows how, you know, if he's doing this purposely, if it's something that really is off or something's really going on maybe. But I feel like, you know, Devin Haney with that last performance, he looked good. You know, I think he's fought better fighters. So I'm kind of leaning more towards Devin Haney, probably taking the win on this fight. But I wouldn't count Ryan Garcia out. He's definitely got speed and power, you know, and it looks like he has a lot of confidence in himself. That's what it seems like. And confidence will take you very far, you know, when you believe in yourself too. But he does have that power that we know that if he catches him, he can knock him out. We saw Linares hurt Devin Haney before in a fight. If that was a left hook from Ryan Garcia, that would have been a different story. I think he would have maybe finished him right there. But the thing is, who knows how prepared he is, you know, and I'm pretty sure Devin Haney has also learned from his mistakes, you know, in certain fights like that. He's gained a lot of experience from fighting guys like Lomachenko. And who knows? I'm leaning more towards Devin Haney probably winning this fight.
What do you think? Mike and I on this week's episode yesterday, we talked about this topic. But what do you think is more impactful? Is it a Ryan Garcia win or a Devin Haney loss? Like, what's going to have more impact?
I think a Ryan Garcia win would have a lot more impact, you know? I think especially with all the social media stuff he's been putting, a lot of people are saying he's not going to win. So if he were to win, I think you would see that all over social media. I think a lot of people would be talking about it, you know, and the fact that he did what he said he was going to do.
Do you think this is all, you know, because obviously people have been talking about him, you know, you name it, he's been talking about it. He's been tweeting about it. Like, you can literally name it, and he's probably mentioned it in the last several weeks. That's how crazy it's been. But Oscar De La Hoya said, you know, I was at Devin Haney's media workout in Hollywood about 2 weeks ago, and we were around Oscar, and he had said that he had spoke to Ryan, and Ryan was like, no, he said he's good. You know, he's like kind of doing it on purpose. You know, I mean, like, do you think it's on purpose? I mean, obviously we don't know, but like,
sometimes I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? He's just doing this, you know, to sell the fight and things like that. And then other times I'll see something pop up and I'm like, I don't know. That seems a little off, but who knows? That's why I think there's a lot of anticipation for this fight, you know, to see it happen. I guess see what result comes out of it.
Do you think Haney, wins by decision? Because, you know, he beat Regis Prograis for the 140-pound WBC title, and he showed some power and some strength at 140, you know, knocking him down. I mean, he didn't knock him out, but he knocked him down, and Regis has been known to be a pretty strong guy at that division. Do you think that Haney, he has said that he wants to knock him out and wants to end the fight like that, but do you feel, you as a fighter, you know, when you move up, do you feel like you yourself, or even talking about Haney, do you guys carry the power with you and weight?
I think there could definitely be a knockout for sure. Most likely, I think decision, but there can be a knockout. I mean, Luke Campbell dropped Ryan Garcia, and Luke Campbell isn't known as a heavy hitter either, you know? I also think sometimes, you know, people's records doesn't show exactly, or it can be deceiving. You know, you might not have 100%, 90% knockout ratio. It doesn't mean you don't have the power. I mean, I think we saw it with Devin Haney dropped Regis Prograis. I think that's power that he's always had. He's just, if you notice, because of his style, he's not a finisher, you know. So he didn't finish him, but he hurt him. I think he showed that he has the power, and he definitely has the power to hurt somebody. It's just, I think, it's like they say, styles make fights. And also, some people have that style. They're just knockout artists, It doesn't mean that they're always, I think, the hardest puncher in the gym. It's just that they just have a certain style. They know how to break someone down. They know how to catch someone on the button at the right time. You know, that's what I would say. Like my record, you look at my record, I don't have the majority of my a whole bunch of knockouts. But I think when people get in there with me and they feel when I hit them, they see it's a different story.
So 2 weeks before your fight, you got Canelo Alvarez and Jaime Munguia, all Mexico clash on PBC on Prime, Amazon, and also it's also DAZN, two different broadcasters there. What do you think about that matchup? I mean, because, you know, you got like the young lion versus kind of like the older lion, but, you know, it's like the veteran and Canelo, even though he's still very, very dangerous. What do you think about that matchup?
I think it's going to be a good fight. You know, I think it's going to be an exciting fight. And Munguia, we know how he comes. You know, he's very aggressive, throws a lot of punches. So I think he has a chance to win. It's just that the thing about him is his defense, I guess, isn't the best. He does get caught sometimes pretty clean, you know, where he'll drop one hand, he gets caught on the side or on the chin. And that's the thing about Canelo. I think he's a great counterpuncher. And with his experience over Munguia, I think that's where he might be able to catch him. But I think if Canelo fights the way he did with Charlo, I think that Munguia will have a more successful night, you know, because when Canelo fought Charlo, he didn't throw too many punches. He was throwing one or two shots at a time. That's why he didn't put him out of there, you know. And I don't think that's what he needs to do in this fight. I believe he's going to have to be a little bit more active than that. But maybe he's going to rely on his counterpunching. You know, he's a really good counterpuncher. So, I don't know. I still favor Canelo over Munguia for this fight.
Do you think for Jaime Munguia, do you think this is one of those fights where even if he loses, I mean, you know, assuming it's not like a horrible knockout or anything, you know, yeah, maybe it's just a loss, it doesn't really... it's not really going to have too much of effect long term for his career, just because, you know, he's still a young guy and he's stepping up to fight. It's kind of like we talked about this before on a past episode, but like when Canelo fought Floyd Mayweather, it was a big box office fight. And obviously Canelo, you know, was very upset and bothered after the fight that he didn't win, but it kind of made him hungrier and a bigger star after that. Do you think for Munguia, he's kind of like in a similar spot for even if he loses? Obviously, if he wins, it's huge. But if he loses, it still doesn't really affect. It's not going to have a hard effect on him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think. I look at it. I was going to say that just like Mayweather and Canelo, that's what it might be for his career. Assuming that he doesn't get knocked out like crazy or take too much punishment in that fight, but that he puts up a good fight. I think that's what it could be for his career, something to kind of bring him to a new level where he's going to learn a lot from it.
And then what do you think about Netflix jumping into, you know, it could be a one-time thing, but with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, I mean, we know it's more of like an exhibition entertainment fight and stuff like that. But, you know, what do you think about the possibility that Netflix could kind of be dipping their toe into some type of fight, you know, combat sport like this, possibly boxing?
I think that's pretty cool, you know, to see that happen. I think it could be good for the sport of boxing, you know, adding another platform like that, that's huge. I think it's just better for the fighters, you know, and just like we see PBC on Amazon Prime now, I think that's great for the sport. That's where everything's moving to, you know, the streaming services now. So I think that could be a good move, maybe a future thing for boxing.
And then, as we mentioned, you fight at the Robert Garcia gym in Riverside, California. You train there. Who's, you know, because you guys have so many fighters that come in and out of there, you know, from kids to, you know, full-fledged professional fighters, world champions. You see a lot of different fighters come in and out of that gym. Is there somebody that, because, you know, you've been there for quite a while now, so you kind of really know the gym and the fighters. And I remember Robert Garcia would say years ago, before he started becoming world champion and winning, Bam Rodriguez was the guy to watch in his gym. People would ask him, he's like, oh, Bam's the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, he's been totally right. You being there when you get a chance to train there, when you've been training there for fights and stuff like that, especially recently, is there somebody, you know, maybe that the boxing world doesn't know about yet that's been training there? Maybe if it's a younger kid or something that you kind of like, oh, you know, that kid, I think he has it.
Man, I think, like you said, a lot of great fighters at that gym, you know, a lot of young up and coming guys. Right now that I can't think of anyone in particular. But a lot of good fighters that I think you're going to see in the very near future.
Have you sparred Virgil?
I did spar him back in 2021. We just went like 4 rounds. I haven't sparred him since then. You know, I think maybe in the future, you know, if he has a fight against a southpaw, I'm sure we'll get some rounds in.
Right.
But
right.
I see, yeah, we're always training there. I see him all the time. He has this fight coming up April 27th, and he's looking ready. He's looking good. I've been watching him spar. I always like to watch everybody else spar and see what I can, you know, take from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, as we mentioned, you have your fight May 18th on ESPN against Brian Norman Jr. You want to give us some, you know, some conclusive words on that fight, what fans should expect and what you're looking forward to do.
I think because of our styles, man, it's going to be an exciting fight. I know that he comes with an aggressive style and so do I. So I think it's a fight we're going to meet in the middle and we're going to fight. You know, I think we're both coming very hungry, you know, with undefeated records. So, and a lot on the line, you know, fans can expect a really good fight for this upcoming one, May 18th.
Sounds good. Well, Gio, we appreciate it. It's your second time here on The Last Round, so hopefully we get you on again in the near future. Before we finish up here, go ahead and let the listeners know where they can keep up with you, you know, where the best, you know, I guess locations on social media or anywhere, websites, the best locations to keep up with you and your career.
Yeah, just follow me on Instagram. Just type in my name, Giovanni Santillan, and you'll find me there. That's pretty much the only place I'm really posting actively.
You're not a Twitter guy? Not yet?
I'm not on Twitter. I made an account and I don't even have the Twitter app. So I don't use it, but I think I will in the future. You know, I got to put myself out there a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let us know, man. We'll make sure to, you know, try to share your account and push you out there. Boxing Twitter is a little bit different, man. You know, there's some crazy fans on there, but it can get
that's
pretty,
what I hear. Yeah, that's
it can get pretty exciting sometimes. It can get pretty exciting. So, but once again, El Gallo de Oro, Giovanni Santillan, fights May 18th on ESPN against Brian Norman Jr. Hopefully, at least as of right now, it's not, but hopefully it's for a vacant WBO title. So for our guest of the week in El Gallo de Oro, Giovanni Santillan, I'm Danny Z. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.